the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew. I'm a member here, and it is really good to be with you and to be with one another. So our big verse today that we've unrolled from our scroll is from the book of James. Now, who can tell me where the book of James is from? John. The New Testament. Bingo. And what is the New Testament from? The Bible. Great. We're off to a great, great start. James is a person. Obviously, it's a name. But it's not like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because those are books written about Jesus' life, like little biographies, like a bit like a book we might buy in a shop. When I say the book of James here, actually, it's not strictly true, is it? Because what is James more accurately described as? A letter. Someone said a letter. Exactly, it's a letter. Because in one of our earlier verses that we looked at in other weeks, he talks about dear friends. He's literally writing, dear friends, I am writing you a letter about how to live better for Jesus. So, if you have a Bible on your table or on your phone, can you wave it at me? Because if we don't have Bibles in the church, we're not doing something right. Great, good. And if you could open up your Bibles to the New Testament, to the letter of James, and towards chapter 2. So it's the second big chunk of James. Wonderful. In the green Bibles, that's page 1148. And in the children's Bibles, 1423. That's lots of numbers. Some more numbers for you with James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. But it shall also be on the screen. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Whoa. There's quite a lot going on there, isn't there? But don't worry, we'll take it one bit at a time. But first, who's seen this film? If you haven't seen this film, it's a really good film. What film is it? Inside Out. Inside Out. The whole premise of Inside Out is that it shows our emotions inside our heads as little characters. Who can tell me what these emotions, these characters are? Who can remember? Who can remember? Joy. Angry. Which one do we think the angry one is? Red. Yeah. What's the green one? Disgust. What's the one in the middle, the glowing one? Joy. What's the little kind of purpley one? Fear. Yeah. And what's the blue one? Sadness. That's right. So they, between them, kind of co-pilot the human based on all of the emotions that are going on inside that person. Now, the clever thing is that it shows what's going on the inside, but it also, split screen, goes to what the human is doing on the outside with themselves. Now, we know that in reality. We don't have little characters going on in our heads that are our emotions. But there is something right about this film. Doesn't it tell us that what's happening on the inside happens kind of on the outside? We've been thinking about that already, haven't we? If we believe something, if we believe it's going to rain, we put on a coat, don't we? If we believe the film's about to start, we get the popcorn out, we get the blanket out, don't we? Our actions, they reveal, whether we realise it or not, our priorities, our values, and as James says, can also reveal the state of our faith. He asks, what good is it if someone has faith with no actions? Can it save them? What's the point? He says, no. No, there is no point. There is no good that can come from that. A faith that doesn't need to anything about it can't really be called faith at all. It's dead. But on the other hand, if you have a living faith, you can't help but do something about it. There's a difference between knowledge and faith, isn't there? If I was getting ready to go on a plane, one of those planes that the doors open while it's still flying, and I was going to jump out, I could read all the books I like about parachutes, couldn't I? I could read all of the books, I could watch all of the videos, I could talk to experts about parachutes, I could look at the parachute, I can feel the parachute. But I am not really using the parachute for what it is for. I'm not really doing the right thing until I jump out of the plane with the parachute and let it do its thing, am I? I can have knowledge about parachutes, but until I jump out that plane, I'm not having faith in the parachute. The same is true with Jesus. That's what James is saying here. One second. Faith isn't about knowing facts about Jesus. I'm sure all of us know some facts about Jesus. It's not about having perfect beliefs either, really, unless that turns into something good for God. What James wrote about, he said even God's enemies, even the demons know facts about God. They've got accurate information, but obviously they do something very different with that information. James asks us to consider an example, doesn't he? Right at the beginning. What if one of our friends came to us and they were hungry and they were cold? But all we did was say, oh, I hope things get better. Things will be all right. It's fine. Do we think that's all right? Do we think that's good? Stony silence. Correct. We don't think that's good. We need to do something about it. There are three things I think James is saying that are wrong with that kind of response. First thing, if you see if someone who's cold and hungry, and you know God says that being cold and hungry is a bad thing and that we need to do something about it, God works through us to bring out good in the world. So if we're not going to put our faith into action, we're not going to see the kingdom grow, are we? But like Jack's example, God says, serve people, show kindness to people. But if he didn't actually do the washing up, that goodness wouldn't be happening in the world, would it? In chapter 1 of James, he says this. Do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to what God is saying. Don't merely just read your Bible and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do something. Do something about it. But let's think about something. God is good, isn't he? Do we agree with that? Yes. Wonderful. God is good, and he doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not going to do himself. God made this world perfect, but we messed it up. But God says, that's not good, I want to do something about it. So what did God do? He did something about it. He sent Jesus, didn't he? God put his money where his mouth is. Second thing. Sorry, I'm not very good at my clicking, am I? There we go. actions speak louder than words, and talk is cheap. People's first impression of Jesus will be how you live your life. If people know that you're a Christian, and you say you're a Christian, and that's how you describe yourself, people will be looking at you and making conclusions, whether they're accurate or not, about Jesus. That's a bit scary, I think. If we offer cheap, hollow words to our cold, hungry friend, that's going to inform what people think about Jesus based on that. However, isn't that also really exciting? That even when we don't get those opportunities always to use our words to describe Jesus to our friends, if our lives are displaying the values of Jesus and what the love that Jesus has for people, they might start to think that about Jesus too. It was once said, preach the gospel at all times and sometimes use words. I want to flip that on its head slightly and say, you're preaching a gospel at all times, whether you realize it or not. Which gospel are you preaching through your actions? Who remembers this? Does anyone know what this is? Oh, there's a whole, I saw a holding hand just then. What's this? Do you remember? Anyone remember what this is? Yeah. A litmus test. A litmus test. Exactly. A litmus test. This is the third thing, I think, that James is saying. I think this is the biggest thing that James is saying. The actions reveal something. They're indicative. A litmus test. You dip the little bit of litmus paper into the liquid, and it will tell you whether or not that liquid is an acid or not. When you dip the paper into the liquid, does it make it an acid or not? No, it just indicates what's already there. And good deeds, those good things that we do, are a little bit like a litmus test for our faith. They themselves don't necessarily change our faith or make it any better, but they are a sign, an indication, an outward indication of what's going on underneath the surface. It's the evidence that our faith is alive. Equally, if there are no good things that we're doing in our lives, then that suggests there might be a problem with our faith. But I think this is a bit of the Bible that it's easy to tie ourselves up in knots about. And some people can end up thinking, oh, I need to do lots of good things. I need to do things in order to be forgiven, in order for God to love me. But doing good things, we know, is not that. We can't make God love us any more than he already does. We can't make God forgive us. He's done that through Jesus on the cross. That's true. James says that our faith is only completed, though, when it kind of has got to a place where it's producing actions. We are saved by a faith in Jesus that produces works, but not by those works. As Martin Luther says, we are saved by faith alone, but that faith that saves is never alone. So, doing godly things, doing good things, good deeds, isn't about perfection. Who here's messed up this week? Who's messed up today? Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. God forgives. It's not about being perfect. It's not about getting everything right. It is about our faith producing our kind of best efforts to please God, but knowing that we only please God through what Jesus has done on the cross for us. It's about signs of life. What we're doing in our lives will be an indication and show that our faith is alive. But also, this is the fun thing, I think. The more we step out, the more we trust, the bolder we become, the stronger our faith will get. And the more we will be able to do that. It's like a muscle. The more we exercise it, the stronger it will become. So I think my final thought is, if you have a faith in Jesus, act like it. Act like it. So, to help us think about this a little bit more, on your tables, or perhaps on your rows with someone that you came with, or maybe by yourself if that's what you'd prefer. Let's have just a brief conversation about these questions or about anything else that came up for you. What's the difference between knowing about Jesus and having faith in Jesus? What first impression do you think your life gives to other people about Jesus? And what's one thing you'll change this week to put your faith into action? So a few minutes, and then Rich will come up with the next thing we're doing.